Hi everyone and welcome to the episode number 5 of our podcast, Better Safe Than Sorry. I'm Nico Capitoni, Cyber Practice Head at Wipro, and I'm your host for the series. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Alex Rodriguez, CISO at Nordex, and we will focus on OT security. If you don't know the company, Nordex is a European leading company that designs, sells and manufactures wind turbines. Nordex produces at site in Germany, Brazil, India, Mexico, Poland and Spain. The main production facility is located at the HQ in Rostock, Germany. Alex is a cybersecurity expert with over 15 years of experience, having worked in major consulting firms and cybersecurity companies. He specializes in offensive security, incident handling and critical infrastructure. Alex, welcome to our podcast. Thank you so much for accepting our invite.
Thank you, Nicolas, for having me. First of all, these are going to be just my personal views and do not reflect the opinion of my employee or their perspective on the matters that we are going to talk about.
Let's get started with our first question, Alex. So as we all know, OT security is currently a top concern for CISO now. So what in your view, Alex, the top challenges that companies are facing in respect to their journey? And especially, how is this a challenge for their OT operations?
Indeed, it's a very good question. And it's a main concern for CISOs, but also for the geopolitical environment. If you think about it, now energy becomes actually a key asset in our markets and for the citizens and for everybody. And it's a geopolitical asset, no doubt about it. Challenges are very wide. If you think about it also, it's a big difference if you are a provider of energy to the citizens or if you are a manufacturer, so you give the assets to the providers. And then not all types of energy are the same. If we are talking about renewables, and even the renewables, are we talking about hydrogen? Are we talking about wind? Are we talking about photovoltaics? So the type of energy also plays a key role in what's going to be the architecture, what's going to be the connection to the grid, to everybody. First of all, the lack of a single architecture. We mentioned before, not all of them has the same architecture. So we don't have homogeneous architecture. When you think about it, you have to go to the basics and you need to understand what are you trying to protect. Then the second thing I think is, and it's very linked to the regulations, is the supply chain. Now, the supply chains play a key role now. Regulations are out there trying to tell how to do it, how important it is, the supply chain, and obviously how are we going to deal with the different providers that we have. Linked maybe to the before point is that if we don't know the architecture, how can we be 100% sure if an update is not going to, then maybe it's not in the service level agreements, not in many aspects, how to update, how to upgrade and roll out the things. And OT is different than IT. There are a lot of courses, trainings, experienced people in IT, but OT it's completely different. And linked to the first point is not homogeneous. So even the people who come from different energy sectors maybe are not experienced enough to do an incident response when it happens to a power plant.
Speaking of visibility, so what would be, Alex, your best advice to tackle the challenges of visibility and response, right, when it comes to incidents or breaches within your OT security environment?
I'm so sorry to go to the very basics again. So for me, everything starts with architecture. No, because if you don't have an homogeneous architecture, is going to be impossible to know what is the access management of the different components that you have. It's not the same if you are user VPN, if you are user second factor authentication, and also how are centralized. It's an important thing. Nowadays there are different providers doing VM machines, for example, for accessing with different tools to the components for diagnosis, so that's going to be also important that you're monitoring everything. Going back again to the basics, are you sure of your architecture? Do you have everything monitored and also correlating? Because otherwise it's going to be quite complex for you and your team to identify what's the root cause and what's happening there, you know? And also, Nicolas, what happens also, you notice the physical layer plays a role. Why? Because a lot of different operations that are maintenance that are been happening in a daily basis happen on the field. So they're going to be technicians connecting and plugging their own laptops to the different components of the devices. So at the end of the day, physical layer also plays a key role. Are you having even the physical perspective on your monitoring? Do you have cameras? These type of things are important because, as I said before, it is not going to be one isolated case or a scenario that a technician plugging something directly to a SCADA and then something will happen. So it's a physical layer when it comes to critical infrastructures. It's a key role and a key aspect to be in your control. And then coming again about architecture, what are you going to do? Are you going to put a front end, an extra layer of security up front of these devices to protect the things, to handle everything? And also, no, obviously, the demand of data is, especially when it comes to artificial intelligence, you need this machine learning protocol, you need this data, you need to normalize this data. So a lot of challenges and a lot of innovation from IT, how to do it with legacy platforms. It's a challenge. So you have to set real case scenarios where you can deliver to your business what they are requesting in terms of data, because most of the time it's a waste of time.
Today, as we know, there are a lot of regulatory requirements coming out, especially NIS2, right? What's your take, Alex, on ensuring that organizations are compliant within the OT space?
First, on this question, I'm very happy to introduce myself, Nicolas, with a disclaimer at the beginning of the talk, because these are going to be my personal nor my employee views on this. I am quite not skeptical, but quite, I'm going to express what I think about NIS2 in a moment. If you talk about regulations or standards, regulations such as NIS2 are laws you have to comply with, very high level. And the problem when it comes to critical infrastructure is that the people that has taken to these regulations, obviously they thought about perspective or high level or big picture. I'm sure they did the best, but it's almost impossible when it comes to critical infrastructure to apply. So let's see how it's going to evolve in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years for providers of energy, for providers of critical infrastructure, or for manufacturers. Good thing or bad thing is that the law put a lot of emphasis in the critical infrastructure for affectation for geopolitical reasons. Big players have to prove compliance very soon, probably. But for me, the problem with these high-level regulations is that they do not take into account the restrictions and the business needs of the providers. Again, we're talking about legacy platforms, 10, 15 years. What are the service level agreements that have you signed with your providers? Are the suppliers 15 years ago that you contracted still there? They are still being a company. Maybe you went for medium-sized, very boutique solution because you had to solve a very risky problem, and there was just a bunch of possibilities out there. So you had to go with one boutique, and then the boutique is not any longer there for you in 10 or after 15 years. You were happy, but now you have to deal with a middleware that you need to update and upgrade and to do a risk assessment of a company that is play a key role but is no longer there. What's going to be your phone call? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? So for me, the problem when it comes to regulations, and especially when this very specific arenas, is that are almost impossible to comply. I'm more okay with the standards. For example, for us, a standard is ISE 62433, which is the de facto standard for critical infrastructures. I know all of them because of trainings, and I like to exchange information with them. But we are following a North American regulation So what happens with European providers? What happens with South Asian providers? It has to be different. Their grid is different. Our innovation for smart grids and grids are completely different.
Moving on to our final question, Alex, around people, right? So what will be your best advice to retain your top talents?
That would be a very interesting response if someone can give a 100% perfect response here, because here in cybersecurity, skill retention is a hot topic. Has been since the last 15 years. I think that things didn't change too much. It requires a lot of extra time and a lot of extra effort. And that extra time normally goes to burn out. So I think that the retention programs of companies shall not just focus on better training or giving skills to the people, but also to dealing with the different aspects of the individual inside the company. The company is giving good career paths to the employees on this. If all your skills are very, let's say, down to a specific topic, then for the rest of the company, it's tough to take value out of you because you are very good at one specific thing. But you don't not understand other things of a company or of other business needs. So maybe working on that gap and maybe understanding better the people and doing this type of retention programs could be a good idea for everybody that works on this. And also when it comes to retention people in the company, I think that the managers have a key role. What are the talents that we are counting on the teams? And report this to our senior executive. That's why that's a very important via channel of communication, because otherwise a senior executive would think that everything is based on different attributes or even on different technology, but it's not, it's on the people. So you need to explain what the team are doing, why are important, what have you done lately for the company, how everything is aligning with the strategy of the business, at least you understand. And also, you have to defend your people.
Alex, thank you so much for sharing your insight. I truly believe it will help a lot of OT security leads to build their own journey.
Oh, thank you, Nicolas, for the opportunity. And also, my contact is there, so everybody can just reach me out to say, to prove that I'm wrong or to ask for more feedback. And I think this type of initiatives are very important. So thank you, Nicolas, for leading this initiative.
Don't forget to share, subscribe, and give us a good rating on Spotify or Apple Podcast if you like this episode. We also appreciate your comments on the show. Just drop us a note. Your feedback drives our improvements.